To Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir and this most blessed and auspicious celebration of Sri Radhashtami, the appearance day of the eternal consort of Lord Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is none different than Krishna. She is the Absolute Truth. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes Janmadya Shayaton Vayari Taratarthi Teshu Vigyashwarat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that Krishna is the cause of all causes, the Absolute Truth, the source of all that exists, and the ultimate goal of our meditation and life. In fact, Krishna explains in Gita, Yam antakali chamamabham smanon makva kalevaram, that one who remembers me at the time of death will achieve me without fail. And man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mami vaishashi satyam te prati jani priyoshini. To always remember Krishna, to worship Krishna, is the ultimate perfection of human existence. Krishna displayed to Arjuna his Virat Rupa, how all the material and spiritual manifestations are ultimately under the control of one of Krishna's expansions, incarnations. Everything is under the control of Krishna at all times, in all places. And that Supreme Absolute Truth in the spiritual world exists ultimately for the purpose of supreme spiritual enjoyment. And Srimati Radharani is the expansion of Krishna himself for the purpose of giving supreme enjoyment to the supreme enjoyer. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, but he receives that pleasure from himself. So the one supreme absolute truth, Godhead, becomes two for the sake of loving exchange. Radha is Krishna, and Krishna is Radha. Radha is the supreme object of enjoyment, and Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Radharani is the supreme lover, and Krishna is the supreme object of love. And in this way, the Supreme Lord eternally enjoys ultimate ecstasy of love with himself in the form of his Hladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. It is explained that there are three energies of the Lord: the external energy, which is this material nature composed of the three qualities of Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. And in this external energy, there are innumerable illusions to keep the spirit soul who has misused its independence in the illusion that it is separate from Krishna, that it can enjoy apart from Krishna. And the marginal energy are the separated parts and parcels of Krishna himself, the Atma, the soul which gives life to all that lives within this creation. The soul is qualitatively one with Krishna, but quantitatively infinitesimal. That means we are completely dependent on Krishna at all times. And the jivatma has the choice to take shelter of either the external energy or the internal spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy comprises all the spiritual worlds beyond the river Viraja, which separates material and spiritual existence. In the spiritual world, there is the Brahmajyoti, the halo emanating from the body of Krishna in the form of unlimited, all-pervasive light. And within that existence is the Vaikuntha planets, the planets where the Lord in His various forms eternally exist, exchanging love with His devotees. And the ultimate, supreme of all spiritual planets is Goloka, Vrindavan, where Krishna enjoys eternally with His eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. And this spiritual energy has three functions. Sandini, it is the Sandini by which Krishna maintains all of His existence in the spiritual world. Samvit, in which Krishna is cognizant of Himself and makes Himself cognizant to His eternal associates or devotees. And Hladini. Hladini is the pleasure potency of the Lord. It is this function which gives ultimate enjoyment to the Lord. And the essence of the Hladini Shakti is Prema Bhakti, unalloyed devotion. And Srimati Radharani is the source, the emblem, the personification, the all and all of this energy of the Lord of Prema Bhakti. Therefore, all of Krishna's pleasure is derived from the love of Sri Radharani, and the ultimate aspiration and the supreme goal of all living entities is simply to eternally exist selflessly in the service of the servants of those who are assisting the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. How the wonderful progressive elevation to the ultimate platform of understanding Radha and Krishna was so nicely described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the dialogue between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Ramananda Rai. This famous discussion brings the ultimate light and understanding of the highest spiritual truths to anyone who hears it submissively. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna Himself, experienced the love within the heart of Srimati Radharani, appeared in this world to give Krishna Prema to everyone. Who would accept? Through the process of the congregational chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When he was in Jagannath Puri, he converted the greatest scholar of Vedanta in all the world, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then he decided to spread the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement throughout the southern and western provinces of India. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya learned of the Lord's departure, he told him that there is a devotee named Ramananda Rai. Because previously I was an impersonalistic philosopher, I was not able to appreciate the excellence of his devotion and his description of transcendental subject matter. But I think that there is no one in all the world who has a deeper love for God than him. So please meet him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began walking through the roads, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that anyone who would meet Lord Chaitanya on the road, he would induce them to raise their arms and loudly chant the holy names of Krishna. And those people just by pleasing the Lord through this acceptance of His mercy, they achieved Krishna Prema. And those people, the Lord instructed, whoever you meet, teach them the science of chanting Krishna Naam. And those people would go back to their villages, and they would instruct their whole village to take part in the kirtan of the holy name. And in this way, entire villages everywhere, people were dancing in transcendental joy with their arms raised, chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And if anyone happened to be visiting from that village and they went to their village, anyone who even saw that person would achieve love of God, the ultimate conclusion of all religion. Lord Chaitanya visited many temples, and then he came to the river Godavari at a place that is called Vidyanagar. And when he saw the beautiful, clear river, he was immediately reminded of the river Jamuna in Vrindavan. And when he saw the wonderful trees and forests all around, he was in contemplation of the beautiful forests of Vrindavan. And he began to dance in transcendental ecstasy, chanting the holy names of Radha and Krishna. Then he crossed over the river in great joy, and he took his bath at a particular place. And after taking his bath, he sat and he waited. The Lord knows past, present, and future. Soon after, there was a very, very celebrant procession with instruments and Brahmins chanting mantras. And in the heart of this procession was a beautiful royal palanquin, and sitting upon it was Sri Ramananda Rai. He was at that time the governor of the province of Madras, and he was a very high-posted official under the king, Prataparudra Maharaj. And he went into Godavari as the Brahmins were chanting their mantras and others were playing instruments. There was over 1,000 people that would travel with him when he would go to the Godavari. And he began to offer his prayers and his oblations to the forefathers and all of the traditional rites that one performs during his snan, his bath in a holy river. And he came out of the river. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his mind, he was racing to run toward him and embrace him, but his body remained still. When Ramananda Rai came out of Godavari, he saw this sannyasi sitting in the forest, and the effulgence was so brilliant and attractive that he came and he offered his prostrated obeisances to this sannyasi. And when Lord Chaitanya saw him, both of their love awakened with such pure feeling that Lord Chaitanya lifted him up and embraced him. We should understand that when the Supreme Lord descends from the spiritual world, he does not come alone, but he brings an entire entourage of his eternal associates. Ramananda Rai is one of the two most intimate gopi servants of Srimati Radharani, Vishakha Devi. Lalita and Vishakha are constantly on the sides of Srimati Radharani, assisting her in every way. In fact, the devotees in Vrindavan, the spiritual world, their only thought is Krishna. Their only thought is service for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. They are willing to give up their lives 1,000 times at any moment if it gives even one drop of pleasure to Radha and Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan, they are willing to die if it will just relieve Krishna or Srimati Radharani from the discomfort of stepping on a twig or a piece of small stone. That is the pure, unalloyed sacrifice. And Lalita and Vishakha are in the highest echelons of such transcendental loving service. In fact, they are expansions of Srimati Radharani herself. So when the two met, they began to embrace. And as they embraced, the symptoms of transcendental ecstasy began to manifest on their bodies. Tears began to pour like rivers from their eyes, their hairs began to stand on end, their voices became all choked up. Their limbs were trembling and trembling. Their complexions were changing colors. Perspiration was flowing from all pores of their bodies. And when the Brahmins, who were not great devotees, when they saw this, they were struck with wonder. They were thinking, why is this sannyasi embracing a Shudra? Because Ramananda Rai was by caste considered to be a Shudra. And then they were thinking, why is this royal minister of the king embracing this mendicant? And what kind of emotions are they exhibiting? They could not understand. They were astonished. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, upon seeing this, they somehow or other restrained their transcendental emotions and forcibly behaved externally normally, just to not confuse people who cannot understand the secret mysteries of transcendental love. And Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda Rai that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has sent me to meet with you because he is my well-wisher and my dearest friend. And Ramananda Rai said, I do not understand why you have touched me. It is against the injunctions of the revealed scriptures for a Brahmin and a sannyasi to touch a Shudra. I am the lowest. I am the most fallen. I am so contaminated, so filled with material desires. But I can tell that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all mercy, and you have extended your mercy to touch me. Although you are your lotus feet are the source of all holy places, you have come to give me your mercy. This is a great wonder, for I am the most fallen. And he said, and not only have you given me this mercy, but all of these 1,000 people that have come with me, they are all now chanting the holy names of Krishna and tears are flowing from their eyes. This is your glory. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually, I am not a devotee at all. I am a Mayavadi sannyasi. What do I know? He said, it is because of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's great kindness that you have touched me for my purification. And because of your presence, all of these people are chanting the holy names and crying in ecstatic love. In this way, the Lord, who is in the role of a devotee, and his most intimate devotee, they exhibited the qualities of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is always taking the greatest happiness in appreciating the service and the devotion of other Vaishnavas. And a devotee is never envious, is never inclined to find faults with others, but is always trying to appreciate whatever spiritual qualities are in another, what to speak of advanced devotees. When Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya exhibited this humility toward one another, they also showed us how a devotee who is great never thinks himself great. Ramananda Rai was the most elevated, most learned, most pure-hearted of all the servants of the Lord, amongst a few others. And yet he considered himself the most sinful, the most fallen. This is the nature of one who is advanced in spiritual life. He considers everyone Prabhu, all other Vaishnavas, and he always considers himself to be Das, 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 Anudas. Srila Prabhupada told us that the spiritual master, the real spiritual master, actually thinks himself to be the disciple of his disciples. The spiritual master considers his disciples to be his own spiritual masters, thinking that Krishna has sent them to engage me in their service. In this way, in Vaishnavism, no one considers themselves master. Everyone considers themselves servant. And the more one is immersed in that mood of humility and service, the more one is respected, and the more we want to worship that person as our master. At that time, a Brahmin came and invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take prasad at his home. And Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda Rai that, "I want to meet with you again. I want to talk with you." And Ramananda Rai, he said, "It is your mercy, my lord. You are willing to extend yourself to speak to a low person like me. Please stay at least 5 to 7 days and purify my heart." So that evening, near the banks of the holy river Godavari, Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met. The name of that place is Kavur. It is a very holy place. And the acharyas explain that Godavari fulfilled the true meaning of its name, because through this discourse between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya, the ultimate pleasure and enlightenment of the senses took place. It was at that spot that the highest truths were revealed to the world. Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were so anxious, eagerly awaiting the moment they could meet. And as they met, Lord Chaitanya began to ask a series of questions to Sri Ramananda Rai. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ocean of all transcendental knowledge, and he is the ocean of all transcendental love and all rasas. And Ramananda Rai served like a cloud. The cloud receives its water from the ocean, and then it showers the water back on the ocean. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Rai, "Please explain to me what is the essence of perfection of life?" And Ramananda Rai said, "You are knowing everything, but because you are asking me, I will repeat whatever you make me say within my heart." And he said, "To perform your duties according to the Varnashram system is the perfection of life, because it awakens our original Krishna consciousness." And he quoted a verse from Vishnu Purana, which describes that it is the serious duty of every human being to follow the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing his particular duties according to the scientific system of varna and ashram. Chatur varna maya sristam guna karma vibhagasya. Krishna says in Gita that I have created these eight systems. There is the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprast and sannyas. Brahman, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. And the scriptures describe the particular duties of each of these varnas and each of these ashrams. And if we perform that duty with the idea that we will be pleasing God according to God's command, then we become purified and we become Krishna conscious. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said to Ramananda Rai, "That is external. Tell me something more." And Ramananda Rai replied, "One should perform one's occupational duty and offer the fruits of one's action for the pleasure of Krishna. Yat karoshi yadasnasi, yaj duhoshi dadasayat, yat tapasyasi konteya, tat kurushva madharapanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all sacrifices and offerings you make, should be done as an offering of devotion to me, for my pleasure." People follow the varnashram system, but oftentimes they do it with material motivations. They are doing it under Krishna's instruction, but still they have so many material ideas and conceptions. So many times, even here in India, people come and tell us, you'd be surprised how many people instruct sannyasis and sadhus of what the goal of life is. And the most common explanation is that one should not renounce anything. One should simply perform one's prescribed duty to one's family and to one's occupation. And if one just does that, that is pleasing to Krishna. That is the goal of life. But that is external, Lord Chaitanya said. Actually, we should perform our duty, but whatever we get from our duty, whatever results, whatever fruits, should be offered to Krishna, not kept for oneself. Lord Chaitanya heard that, and he said, "This is also superficial. Please tell me something more." And Ramananda Rai replied, "One should abandon one's duty and surrender to Krishna. This is the essence of perfection. Sarva dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masujaha." That ultimately the only real duty and perfection is simply to please Krishna. We should have no other motive. We should be willing to do anything that Krishna wants for Krishna's pleasure. And Lord Chaitanya heard this, and he said, "Please, this is also external. Tell me something more." And Ramananda Rai replied that to practice bhakti or devotional service with knowledge and speculative pursuits, jnana-mishra bhakti, is the essence of perfection. And then he quoted a verse from Bhagavad Gita, "Kama bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kankshati samasaraveshu bhutishu mad bhaktim labhate param." That when we achieve through jnana the brahma-bhuta stage, where we understand we are not this body, we actually realize we are not this body and mind. They are temporary coverings, like sets of clothes, for the real person, which is the soul. And the soul is Brahman. It is pure, it is spiritual, it is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. When we're able to discriminate between matter and spirit, we understand that the soul is beyond the three modes of material nature. Nasochati nakangshati. It is detached from this physical body. It does not long for what it does not have, and it does not lament for what it loses. It is self-satisfied. such a soul engages in the service of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya explained that this is also external. Please explain what is beyond that. And Ramananda Rai replied that devotion unmixed by any of these qualified speculative ideas, devotional service which is pure, without a tinge of speculative knowledge, which is not done simply for one's own liberation, but one is done for the pleasure of the Lord, that is the essence of perfection. And Lord Chaitanya replied, please tell me something more. This is also external. And Ramananda Rai replied, that ecstatic love of God is the essence of perfection. Ecstatic love of God means spontaneous devotion. Rupa Goswami describes that pure unalloyed devotion cannot be achieved either by heaps and heaps of pious activities or charity or sacrifices. It cannot be achieved even by realizing you are not this body, but you are the eternal soul. It can only be achieved by the intense greed to have that unalloyed devotion. The intense greed to surrender yourself wholesale for the pleasure of Krishna. And one who hears the glories of the Lord, chants the glories of the Lord, chants the names of the Lord, and is always engrossed in meditation on the Lord, simply with the desire to serve Him and to please Him as the servant of the servant of the servant, such a person achieves spontaneous ecstatic love. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he said, that is all right. But I wish to hear if there is something more than that. And Ramananda Rai replied that pure spontaneous devotion and service to Krishna in a mood of his servant is the essence of perfection. And he described how in the mood of a servant, dasyaras, one is willing to do everything and anything for the pleasure of the Lord. One is willing to surrender his life or her life simply for the satisfaction of the Lord. And serving with love, ecstatic love. And Lord Chaitanya, he asked Ramananda Rai, that is very good, but is there something more? And Ramananda Rai replied that when dasyaras, spontaneous ecstatic love as a servant, comes to a higher and deeper degree of love, it becomes sakyaras. Dasyaras means you do what the Lord says. But when confidentiality, when intimacy is added to that, it becomes fraternal love, serving the Lord as a friend. In the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, it is described that even the greatest yogis and even the greatest jnanis and even the greatest karmakandis and even the greatest sages, they may have some reverential conception of Godhead, but these cowherd boys, they are playing with Krishna like a friend. They do not even recognize that he is supreme. They are dancing with him and jumping with him and wrestling with him and playing with him and joking with him. When a deeper sense of love is awakened. This is called Sakya Ras. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Can you explain what is beyond that?" And Ramananda Rai explained how when Sakya Ras is added with even a deeper sense of love and devotion and concern, then one even feels that the Lord is depending on me. And that is called parental affection, or Vatsalya Ras. Now this is very interesting, because in the Vaikuntha worlds, there is Santaras, complete surrender to the Lord. And there is Dasya Ras, where that surrender is activated by service. And there is some, in Ayodhya, there is some brief glimpse of Sakya Ras also among some associates. And in the land of Ayodhya, there is also some Sakya Ras and some very shade of Vatsalya Ras. Not to its full spontaneous degree, but they exist. And Ramananda Rai said, quoting Shastras, that who can understand how the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is crawling like a child in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj? And how the Absolute Truth, who is the nourisher of all existence, who is Vishwambhar, how he is suckling the milk from the breast of Yashoda. And she is thinking, if I do not feed him, he will become sick, or even perhaps he will die. Such intensity of concentrated love he described as Vatsalya Ras. And Lord Chaitanya was becoming very happy as he was hearing Ramananda Rai speak. And he replied, "Please, is there something beyond that?" And then Ramananda Rai explained that the essence of perfection, the highest ultimate realization, is Madhurya Ras. To love Krishna as his lover. And he began to explain how each of these rasas include all the preliminary rasas. Santa Ras is neutrality. Santa Ras is included within Dasya Ras. Santa Ras and Dasya Ras are included within Sakya Ras. Santa Ras, Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras are included within Vatsalya Ras. And all the rasas are included within Madhurya Ras, or conjugal love. And he gave the example of the elements of this material creation. There are five elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Ether is the subtlest element. Within air is also ether. And within fire is ether and air. And within water is ether, air, and fire. And within earth is fire, water, air, and ether. All the elements are contained in earth. In the same way, the fullest, richest ras is that of conjugal love. And he explained that any devotee in any particular relationship he is in with Krishna, in the perfected state of ecstatic love, is perfect, complete, and fully satisfying to that devotee. But still, from a neutral point of view, we can understand there are different degrees of the intensity of one's loving relationship with Krishna. And then he described the glories of the gopis, who are eternally serving Krishna in Madhurya Ras. The gopis of Braja, what was the quality of their surrender and their love? There was no limits to it. When Krishna played upon his flute, the gopis left everything. They risked their lives going into the dark, dense for us in the night. They left all the responsibilities and all the securities of their families, of all the social customs, even of the basic principles of what we call material morality. They did not care if they were abandoned forever. They didn't care if they were homeless forever. They didn't care if the whole society rebuked them and condemned them. Their only concern was, Krishna's calling us. When the gopis went to meet Krishna, they had not even the slightest tinge of conception of satisfying their own mind, senses, or bodies. They simply went to please Krishna, to give themselves completely for Krishna. There is not a tinge of material desires in the hearts of the gopis. Otherwise, how is it that great sannyasis like Shukadeva Goswami, the ultimate perfection of one in the renounced order who had no material desires, why he is aspiring to become the servant of the servant in worship of these gopis of Brajabhumi? Because their love is the essence of purity. And Ramananda Rai explained that these gopis, their love, their surrender, their sacrifice, they're willing to make any risk for the pleasure of Krishna. They're willing to die to accept any inconvenience for Krishna, was so pure that Krishna felt indebted to them. There is a beautiful story. Krishna sent Narada saying, I have headache. He went to the Jnani's ashram. Krishna wants the dust from your feet for his head so that it will cure his headache. They said, no, no, he is Bhagavan. He is Param Brahman. If we do that, we will go to hell. And they went to the yogis and the sages and the rishis, and they all had the same reply. Putting our feet on Krishna's head, we will go to hell for such an offense. Krishna said, you go to Vrindavan. Ask gopis. The gopis immediately started collecting all the dust particles from their lotus feet. Narada said, what? Do you not know you will go to hell forever, for the rest of eternity? That may be your reaction. They say, of course we know. But don't worry about that. Just bring it to Krishna. And they reveal their innermost hearts. If we have the opportunity to suffer the miseries of hell for the rest of eternity, to give Krishna even 1 second of relief from his headache, we will consider that the ultimate fortune of our life. That is the love of the gopis. And Ramananda Rai began to explain the wonderful, wonderful qualities of the pure, unalloyed surrender of the gopis of Braja. And Lord Chaitanya said, that is very good. But is there something more that you know? And Ramananda Rai replied that it is beyond my expectation that anyone within this entire creation could ask for something more than the explanation of the love for the gopis for Krishna. But then he began to continue. There is something more. Of all the gopis, there is one gopi who is the essence of all the love of all the other gopis. It is from her that all the other gopis gain their bhakti, their devotion. The supreme essence of all devotion is exclusively possessed by the ultimate of all Krishna's servants, who is none different than Krishna himself. and that is Srimati Radharani. That all the gopis of Vrindavan, their only hope is to simply give pleasure to Krishna by assisting Srimati Radharani. And then he began to describe the Raslila. He said that when Krishna expanded himself in and between every gopis, that was his prabhava prakash. It was an expansion of his original self to be in and between every gopi. But his original form, his Swayam Rupa, is only in one place eternally, and it never leaves that place. And that is at the side of Srimati Radharani. And he explained from Shukadeva Goswami's narration in Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna was dancing with all the gopis, but he wanted to show the supreme excellent love that is shared between himself and Srimati Radharani. So, and Srimati Radharani understood this was his desire. So she left the arena of the Ras dance. And Krishna, even with all the beautiful damsels of Braj that could give him happiness in the absence of Srimati Radharani, so he left them all. And he actually went calling her name and was weeping in separation for her in the banks of Jamuna. And ultimately he found her. And it is described that the other gopis were following his footprints, trying to find him. They were in such intoxication of love. They were discussing his pastimes, imitating his pastimes, asking the trees and the birds and the deers and the moon and the stars and the skies, "Have you seen Shyam Sundar? He has left us." And when they saw his footprints meeting with another set of footprints, they understood that this one gopi, she is the most supremely worshipable. It is from her that Krishna gets his complete satisfaction. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yano vihaya Govinda Krito yam anayadraha. When the gopis began to talk amongst themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else." It is through this verse that Shukadeva Goswami has revealed to the world the supreme unlimited position of Srimati Radharani. And Ramananda Rai proceeded to explain the transcendental wonderful qualities of Srimati Radharani's love. And he explained in so many wonderful ways the relation of love between Radha and Krishna. And these subject matters are the most confidential, esoteric, purest, and super excellent of all subject matters. In fact, the intimate details of this discussion, Lord Chaitanya discussed only with Ramananda Rai. And in the later part of his Leela with Swarup Damodar as well. Other than that, for the general public, or few people who had not attained that ecstatic position of unalloyed devotion, he did not discuss openly the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because they are so pure, they are so beyond material existence, that as long as there is a tinge of material conception in our heart, we cannot truly appreciate it. In fact, we can misunderstand it. So for the general people, Lord Chaitanya simply induced them You attain that stage gradually by purifying your heart by chanting in kirtan the holy names. To great scholars like Prakash and Ananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to them he discussed very deep philosophy of Vedanta and the conclusions of Vedanta, which is pure unalloyed devotion. But the conjugal pastimes of Radha Krishna and Vrindavan he only discussed with Sri Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar. So we are not going to go much farther than that, following in his footsteps. But the nature of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna was exhibited within this world by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, when they discussed this wonderful conversation, Lord Chaitanya was so happy that he told to Ramananda Rai, that you are giving me the nectar of the highest knowledge, you are giving such pleasure to my heart. And Ramananda Rai said, I am not doing anything. I am like a parrot, and you are somehow going into my heart and making me speak. He explained that I am like a stringed instrument, and you are the masterful musician, making sounds come out of the instrument in the form of my tongue to chant all of these beautiful, beautiful truths. Ramananda Rai said, even I do not know these truths. You are simply making them come from my mouth for your own pleasure. I am a fallen soul. I am less than a Shudra. What can I know? It is all by your mercy. And Lord Chaitanya replied, I am a Mayavadi sannyasi with a dry, cold, stone-like heart. I don't know these things. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was merciful to me, so he sent me to you so I could become purified to hear these truths. They spoke for 10 days, every night, throughout the whole night, on these beautiful topics of the loving relations of Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya asked a series of wonderful questions to Ramananda Rai, in which he gave perfect replies, each one making the conclusion pure devotion to the Lord and his devotees. And then Ramananda Rai, he said to Lord Chaitanya, that I am seeing you as a sannyasi, and now I'm seeing that you're no longer a sannyasi, but you have a beautiful blackest form. You are Shyam Sundar playing on your flute, and now I'm seeing you like a golden doll, Srimati Radharani. Can you explain to me? And Lord Chaitanya said, because you are a Mahabhagavat, you are a great soul, you are seeing Krishna everywhere. This is what the scriptures say, that great devotees, when they see a tree, they see Krishna. When they see a river, they see Krishna. When they see anybody, they see Krishna reveals everywhere to such great devotees. And Ramananda Rai replied, that please do not trick me with these words. You are Rasa Raj and Mahabhav, Radha and Krishna, in one form. Can you reveal this to me? And at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed himself. Something that no one has ever seen. He showed Radha and Krishna. And then he showed how Krishna was entering deep into the heart of Srimati Radharani to experience the nature of her love. and how Krishna, entering the heart of Srimati Radharani, took on her beautiful golden complexion. Lord Chaitanya appeared for three internal and three external reasons. The internal reasons was that Krishna, who is the supreme reservoir of pleasure, the enjoyer of everything that exists, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna says, everything is for my enjoyment. But he saw that Srimati Radharani's love for him was so great, it was so deep, it was so excellent, that he couldn't understand it. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjuna babashani tibhutani mamtu vedana kashjana. Krishna says, I know everything past, present and future. Nothing is unknown to me. I know all living beings. But the nature of the love of Radharani was so great that it even conquered him, that he could not live without it. He wanted to understand, what is that love? When Krishna would see the beauty of Radharani and feel the ecstasy of her love, his flute would fall from his hand. His crown would fall from his head. When a breeze would touch her sari and then touch him, he would practically go blind and unconscious in ecstatic love. And when Srimad, in this way, he was thinking, what is the nature of that love? Even I do not experience something like that. And what is it about me? What is it about me that gives so much pleasure to Srimati Radharani? And the third was, what is the ecstasy she experienced in her love for me? So these are the internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's manifestation. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. The supreme one truth separated into two forms for ecstatic love, and then they came back into one form to experience the nature of each other's love. And there were three external reasons. Yada yada hi dharamasya glanir bhavati bharata vyutanam dharamasya tadatmanam srijam paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskratam dharma samstapanarathaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna promises in Gita, again and again in each yuga, I will descend to annihilate the miscreants, to protect my devotees, and to re-establish the principles of religion. And also his devotee Advaitacharya was praying to the Lord to descend, and the Lord, and he promised the world that the Lord would descend. And the Lord never allows the prayers and the promises of his devotees to go in vain. And he also came as the Yuga Avatar to establish the Yuga Dharma for all the world, the congregational chanting of the holy names. But in this form, Ramananda Rai saw how Krishna was entering into the deepest recess of Srimati Radharani's heart to experience the ecstasy of her love and to taste it himself, something he had never seen before. And in this way, Ramananda Rai, he was so much stunned in ecstasy that he fell to the ground unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya touched him with his hand and brought him back to consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda Rai, no one has ever seen what you have just seen. I have revealed to you the mysteries of the essence of this incarnation. Ramananda Rai began to present himself with such humility and devotion and praise the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you have come not only to taste the ecstasy of your own pleasure potency, but you have come to give that same love of Srimati Radharani to the whole world through the process of the congregational chanting of the holy names. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, describes that the Lord's mood was generally in the mood of Srimati Radharani in the experience of separation from Krishna. As she felt when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, when Krishna was living in Vrindavan, he promised the residents that your love and devotion to me is so great that I am eternally purchased. He said to them that even though I am the Lord of all that exists, I do not have enough to pay you back for your love. I am eternally your debtor. But then Akrura came to Vrindavan and he asked Krishna Balaram to come to Mathura. And that night, the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis headed by Sri Radharani, they were simply weeping and crying at the imminent separation. Even the Lord was still with them. Just the thought that he would leave was just crippling their hearts in ecstatic love of imminent separation. And then when the morning came, and Akrura invited Krishna Balaram to sit on the chariot, the gopis, they were begging, you cannot go. How can you go? We have given up our lives. We've given up everything for you. We've given our hearts to you. We don't want to live if you go. And they were laying their bodies in front of the wheels of the chariot. If you must go, please, don't let us suffer separation. Let us die. And Krishna told them, I promise you, I will come back soon. Let me go. So he went for Mathura. And he killed Kamsa and Kuvalyapida and Chanura and Mustika. And he awarded so many beautiful benedictions upon the florist Sudama and Kubja. And he killed Kamsa's tailor by chopping off his head with his hand for not giving him clothes. And he performed so many wonderful pastimes in Mathura. But Krishna understood the state of his devotees in Vrindavan. So he sent Uddhava. You go there and you give them my message and you pacify them. But when Uddhava went to Vrindavan and saw the condition of the residents, and especially when he met the gopis, and then he met Srimati Radharani, and he saw what kind of separation. They couldn't do anything except weep and cry and chant Krishna's glories. And when he saw them, he was thinking that all over Mathura, everyone says, I'm the greatest devotee. Everyone is claiming that he is the most intimate friend of Krishna. But when he saw the devotion of Nanda and Yashoda weeping and crying, Uddhava said, you are most fortunate. And he said, we are the most unfortunate. That Krishna, he has stolen our hearts and then he has left us. And Brahma Gita, where Srimati Radharani is speaking to a bee in the madness of love and separation. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains how at one time Uddhava saw Srimati Radharani just laying on the ground in one of the forests of Vrindavan, and her friends were somehow trying to revive her, and she was burning a fever over 110 degrees. It was not possible for her to live. She was just burning in the fever of separation. And she began to speak, and Uddhava was listening. She was speaking that my body is burning and is on fire in separation. My only regret is that I continue to live. Why can't I leave this body? How can I bear this separation from Krishna any longer? He has stolen my heart. I've surrendered everything to him, and now he has left. And then she saw a crow flying in the direction of Mathura. And she said, "Oh, crow, come here, please. Give a message to Krishna. Tell him that if a man's house is on fire and everything's burning inside, it's that man's duty to unlock the doors and somehow rescue all the domestic pets that he keeps in his house from being burned to death. Even if it is the risk of his life." He said, "Similarly, this body, which is my house, is on fire. And it was Krishna that set it on fire. And I'm burning and burning, but I cannot get out of the house because he has bolted the doors. And what is that bolt? Before he left, he promised that I will come back. I assure you that I will come back. It is those words that keep me locked within this body in hope that this will happen. I cannot give up this life. But he's not coming back, and I know he won't come back. So tell him to come, or at least unbolt and take back those words." And when Uddhava saw this, the love of these devotees, he prayed that I will do all tapasya, and my aspiration in life is to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so that one of the servants of the servants of the servants of Srimati Radharani may step on my head with their lotus feet someday. That was his ultimate aspiration in life. And when he went back to Mathura and he gave report to Krishna, he said, "You must go back there. You must save them. You must help them. They have so much love that all the residents of the Yadu dynasty, we have no love in comparison to them." Krishna said, "Yes, I will go. I will go." But he never went. He moved to Dwarka. One of my godbrothers told a beautiful story from one of the literatures of the Goswamis. He explained how in Dwarka, Krishna was always chanting the holy names of the residents of Vrindavan. He would chant Radhe, 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 Radhe in his sleep all night, and the queens, they wanted to understand, what is this love? But one time, he was so engrossed in separation from the residents of Vrindavan that he was unconscious, and he just couldn't come to consciousness. So Uddhava was present, and Narada was present, and Balaram was present. And they were thinking that the only thing that will bring him out of his unconscious state is if Narada Muni, if you chant the glories of Vrindavan playing on your veena. And Narada Muni said, "Yes, I could do that. But there's a problem. If I start chanting the glories of Vrindavan, then he'll go to Vrindavan. He'll immediately go there. He will not stay here." And then they all began to think, if he goes there, and he sees the separation of the residents of Vrindavan and sees the ecstasy of all these devotees just crying for the rest of their lives, just maintaining their lives only with the hope that he will return. He said he'll never be able to leave them again. And then what will happen to Dwarka if Krishna never comes back? So they were thinking that what we should do is we should first go to Vrindavan. He said, Uddhava, you should go to Vrindavan. And you should tell them Krishna's coming, have a big festival. And then everyone will be happy and jubilant. And then Krishna will come into a big festival and he'll see how happy the Vrijavasis are. And he'll set, and then he'll come back to Dwarka. And Uddhava said, I already went there once as a messenger. And I saw their condition. And I promised them that Krishna would return. And he never returned. If I come again and say Krishna's coming, they will not believe me. They will think I'm just telling another lie. So then Uddhava and Narada looked to Balaram and said, you should go. You are his brother. You tell them that Krishna's coming. He said, I also went. I stayed there. Uddhava stayed 3 months. He said, I stayed there for 2 months. And I could not hardly pacify them. They were in so much separation. And they begged me, send Krishna back. And I promised them, yes, Krishna, after I give him a report of your ecstasy of love, he will certainly come back. And every time I'd remind Krishna, you must go to Vrindavan, they need you. Months and years have gone by, and he keeps saying, yes, I will go, yes, I will go. But he has never gone. So they will not believe me. And then Subhadra came, and she said, I will take care of it. I will go to Vrindavan, and I will tell Yashoda Mai, and I will tell the gopis and everyone that Krishna is coming. Said, those other two men, you cannot trust men. They are by nature crooked. But I am a lady, and us ladies, we are very simple-hearted, so you can believe me. In fact, Krishna, Balaram, and myself already boarded our chariots, and we were all on our way, but so many kings and other people were greeting them that I came ahead just to tell you that he's coming. Let's have a festival. So everyone agreed, yes, this is a perfect plan. Get all the chariots. So Balaram got on his chariot, and first he went. And then Subhadra, she got on her chariot, and she went. And then Daruka arranged Krishna's chariot. And then Narada Muni began to sing the glories of Vrindavan. And when Krishna heard these glories, he immediately got up on his threefold bending form. And then he was thinking, where is my flute? And where am I? And Narada Muni said, actually you're in Dwarka, but we're taking you to Vrindavan. Right now, get on your chariot. So Krishna got on his chariot. And they went to Vrindavan. And when they arrived, first Subhadra came. Actually, first Balaram arrived. And when Balaram saw the pitiable condition of the Brijabasis, just the calves could not even drink the milk from their mothers. The mother cows could not even eat grass. They were just weeping in meditation on Krishna. The cowherd boys, Sridhama, he was just standing under a tree. Krishna told Sridhama that, I will come back after a few days. Sridhama says, I'm going to stand under this tree. I'm going to fast until you return. He was standing under that tree for 100 years, just crying and waiting, not even eating, just surviving in the thought of Krishna coming back. What to speak of the gopis, just crying and making garlands and meditating, Krishna will return tonight. He must return tonight. It is our only hope to go on living. When Balaram saw the ecstasy of the separation of the Brijabasis, he was so overcome by their love that he went into ecstasy. And his eyes became big and his arms and legs like tortoise went into his body. And then Subhadra's chariot And she couldn't even make it to Mother Yashoda. When she saw all the people of Vrindavan enwrapped in the ecstasy of separation, of love, she was completely drowned by the ocean of their love. She had never experienced such a thing. And her eyes became dilated, and her arms and legs went into her body, and she just stood motionless like a statue. So all of their plans were foiled. Krishna arrived, and there was no preparation. And when he arrived, he happened to come just in the garden where Srimati Radharani was laying in her Mahabhava of separation from Krishna, weeping and crying in separation for Krishna. And the Brijabasis were actually thinking that she will not live. There was practically not even a sign of life, only tears, and the name of Krishna resounding on her mouth. And when Krishna came and saw her in that condition, her love was so overwhelming, he was completely conquered and paralyzed by that love. When he saw the love of separation of Srimati Radharani, his eyes dilated and became very, very big. And also his arms and legs went into his body, and he stood there motionless. And then the breeze that touched the body of Srimati Radharani touched him, and he came back to his original form. Actually, what happened is the breeze that touched his body touched Srimati Radharani, and she came to consciousness and saw him. And then she sent her friends to chant her name in Krishna's ear, and then he came to consciousness. And then Lord Krishna said that this form of my love for your love will be manifest in Jagannath Puri forever. He said, this form of Jagannath with dilated eyes and with no arms and legs, he said, the world should know, and you should know, that this is the manifestation of my love for Srimati Radharani. And Balaram and Subhadra will also be installed there with me. He explained that Balaram, Subhadra, and myself were like three logs that were floating in the ocean of the love of Sri Radharani and the residents of Vrindavan. So this is one of the most wonderful explanations of the forms of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath in Sri Purushottam Kshetra Puri Dham. And then the Lord explained to Srimati Radharani that in the age of Kali Yuga, in that same land of Jagannath Puri, he said, I will incarnate with your love, in your heart, experiencing your love as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there we will dance together in Ratha Yatra. Lord Chaitanya during Ratha Yatra was experiencing the ecstasy of love for Jagannath, and Jagannath was experiencing the love for Radharani in the form of Lord Chaitanya. And this is the beautiful festival, the internal significance of the festival of Ratha Yatra. And then Krishna said, and in that form of Lord Chaitanya, not only will I experience the highest prema of your heart, but I will distribute that prema to the whole world through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna
earlier this year on the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Sridhamayapur, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, my dear godbrother, His Holiness Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, he narrated the same story that I just narrated. Some devotees from Vrindavan came to his room and asked him, "Can you tell us something about Jagannath and Puri?" So he narrated the same story. I heard it myself from him. He narrated this story. And just when he finished the story, just when he explained how Krishna manifested his Jagannath form upon seeing Srimati Radharani's love, and just as he gave the benediction that I will come in the form of Lord Chaitanya and spread the glories of the holy name, at that moment he said, "I cannot speak any longer." And he told his devotees, "Nam karo," that you take the name of Krishna. And within minutes he left his body and went back to the spiritual world. So in honor of this dear godbrother of mine, who has gone back to Godhead, we are sure. We are narrating this wonderful story, which was the last meditation in his heart before he gave up his life on this most auspicious day of Sri Radhastami. The conclusion of all transcendental knowledge and the means by which we can achieve all transcendental realizations is through cleansing our hearts by sincerely chanting Krishna's holy name. Krishna has made available all the goals which are achieved in various yugas. In Satya Yuga, tens and thousands of years of tapasya and meditation to gain love of God. In Treta Yuga, by performing grand, grand, wonderful yajnas to achieve love of God. In Dwapara Yuga, by worshipping Krishna perfectly according to the standards of Archana. None of these things are possible in this age of Kali. Kalera dosa nide rajan asti hek mahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajat. In this Kali Yuga there's one benediction, that we can achieve the same result by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by sincerely coming together to chant the holy names of the Lord. And if we chant the holy name sincerely, guarding against the offenses to the holy name, keeping the association with humility and service to the Vaishnavas, there is no doubt gradually we will achieve the ultimate perfection. Srimati Radharani's supreme mercy has come in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us all the sweet love that Ramananda Rai and the great acharyas in the scriptures tell us about. And it is all available to those who dedicate their lives to this great Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The sweetest and most pleasing way we can offer our hearts as a gift to Srimati Radharani on this day is to make the vow of being the servant of the servant of the great spiritual masters in Parampara, whose grace is making her mercy available to us today. And they all unanimously give us the same instruction, that Radha and Krishna have appeared within the sound of their names. And if we approach the name under the direction of the great spiritual masters in disciplic succession, then the name will have all potency to purify our hearts and awaken ecstatic love within us, pure, unalloyed love. Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki, Shri Shri Radharani Ki, Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki, Ananti Kori Vaishnava Brinda Ki, Nithai Gopimanam Ri.